the people who first saw him, they just couldn't quite get their head around it. But Jesus had come back to life. And this story is written by John, who was one of the disciples of Jesus, who was an eyewitness to everything that happened. He saw Jesus hanging on the cross, dying, and died. And he saw everything in Jesus' life. And he was an eyewitness. So John, who is writing this story, his account is authentic. The Jewish authorities, the Roman governor, the soldiers, hey, they had thought, job done. Jesus, we put him on the cross, end of story, that's it. He's died, no more Jesus. But that wasn't the end of the story, was it? Because he overcame death and rose and came back to life. And this was the greatest miracle. Three women came early in the morning to the tomb with the spices that they had prepared to embalm the body. They didn't know whether they'd be able to do it because the stone had been sealed over the entrance by the soldiers. But their hope was that they were going to pay their respects in this way by embalming Jesus' body. One of them met Jesus. In this story, what a wonderful story. Jesus, of course, is the center of this story. But isn't it interesting? In the first century, that a woman was the first person to meet the risen Jesus. And not just any woman either. Mary Magdalene had seven demons cast out of her by Jesus some months or maybe years before. And so she had a lot to be thankful to Jesus for, didn't she? She was the one who met Jesus, and she was the one who went to the other disciples and said, I have seen the Lord. She was the one, I don't think she said, I've seen the Lord. I think she ran to them and she said, I've seen the Lord. Yes, I think that's what she did. Wonderful thing. She is the one. And if you notice in the story, Mary Magdalene held on to the feet of Jesus. She held on to his feet. It's almost like she didn't want to let him go. But Jesus said to her, don't hold on to me. Instead, go and tell the disciples and other people of what you have seen, that I have come back to life. You see, we can hold on to Jesus, can't we? We can think, yeah, Jesus is mine. We can hold on to Jesus. But Jesus says to us, his followers, no, don't hold on to me. Go and tell other people. And so she did. Tell other people that Jesus is alive. John goes into the tomb. He's there as well. He goes into the tomb. And the Bible says in the account that Shirley read that he believed. And John, when writing his gospel, that's the main thing that John wants his readers to do, is to believe in Jesus. Not just to believe in here about Jesus, but to believe in Jesus, to trust him and deeply believe in him. So John goes into the tomb and he sees that the body is not there and that Jesus is risen from the dead. Later that evening, just after the story that Shirley read, a group of terrified disciples met in a room. They were scared. They were absolutely terrified because they were worried that the authorities, the soldiers, were going to come and drag them away. And into that room of terror and fear, Jesus comes and he says, look, touch my hands, touch my wrists. See the place where the nails were driven through my hands and my wrist. Touch my side. See the place where they thrust a sword or a spear into his side. It's really me. And he also said, peace be with you. You see, they were terrified, but Jesus brought them peace. And that's one of the amazing things. So Jesus gives life and he brings peace to us. And Jesus said earlier in John's gospel, he said, I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me will live even though they die. And whoever lives by believing in me will never die. And Jesus said that just before he raised a man called Lazarus from the dead. He raised Lazarus from the dead. And he said, Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. I find it really interesting that Jesus many times predicted his own suffering, his death, and his resurrection. He knew that that was what was going to happen. He said it many times. The disciples couldn't quite get their head around it. They said, no, that's not going to happen to you. But Jesus said, oh, yes, it is. And that is exactly what happened. So that means that we can trust Jesus because what he said would happen did happen. Jesus' death and resurrection are the center of Christianity. Some people think Christmas is the biggest Christian festival. It's not. Easter is the biggest Christian festival because Jesus' death and his resurrection are the center of Christianity. And what you and I think of Jesus is the all-important thing. That determines everything else in our life. You see, Jesus' resurrection actually happened, and he proved it by meeting many, many people afterwards. Like I said, he showed them the marks of the nails in his body, and he ate meals with them, and he spent time with them for a period of nearly 6 weeks before he went back to heaven. We sang about that, didn't we, in one of our songs. The resurrection is also a person. The resurrection is a fact. Yes, it happened. Jesus came back to life. But the resurrection is also a person. And Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. Jesus is saying, look at me, believe in me, and I will give you new life. And when we later celebrate baptism, we come up out of the water to celebrate, to remember the new life that Jesus has given us. And when we trust Jesus, when we believe in him, we pass from death to life, like he did. That's a wonderful thing. And Jesus offers us an amazing thing. He offers us eternal life. Everyone, every one of us, everyone out there who invites Jesus into their life will live forever, beyond death, and we will be with him forever. And his resurrection is the guarantee of that. Jesus tells us that one day when he comes back, we've already sung about that, all people will be raised from death. And our destiny will either be destruction or we will be with him forever. And that is part of the reason why it matters what you think of Jesus and how you respond to Jesus. One question I could ask you is, do you know where you're going when you die? Because your response in this life will determine what happens in the next life. Your response to Jesus in this life will determine it. And we have the opportunity now, don't we? Not right now, of course we do, but while we are alive on this earth, we have the opportunity to decide. But one day, Jesus says, the door will be shut. No second chance. That will be it. This is not me saying any of this. This is what the Bible says. This is what Jesus himself said. We're not quite in April yet, are we? Tomorrow. Well, in April, we are going to be celebrating as a church the resurrection of Jesus and the new life that he has given us. We are going to be thinking about what it means that Jesus has given us new life. We'll have some testimonies, some stories about that new life, and we'll look at what it looks like in practice. So today we're celebrating because we are happy. We are happy. We are joyful. Jesus is God. Jesus came to show us what God is like. And he came to die and to come back to life as he said he would 3 days later. You see, Jesus has changed everything for us. Meeting Jesus has changed my life, and it has changed the lives of many of us here. And we celebrate that. We are happy. Jesus has risen from the dead. He has come back to life as he said he would, and he has given us new life. Hallelujah. Hallelujah is a word that only comes in one book of the Bible, but it is just a way of saying, thank you, Jesus. It's a way of celebrating what Jesus has done. And we remember that on this special Easter Sunday. If you would like to know a little bit more, I've got a card that you could have. It says, new life, new hope, new freedom because of Jesus. And it says it in 5 community languages, Farsi, Arabic, Romanian, Czech, and Spanish for many of the people who live in this community. It's got my number on the back. If you would like to know more about the possibility of the new life that Jesus could give you, and more about Jesus, who is the center of Christian faith, call me. My number's here, and I look forward to receiving your call during the week. Thank you for listening. Well, the children are going to, I think, going to do a little drama. Are they all gone? Have they left the room? They're ready. Are they ready? Okay, good. So the children are going to do a little play. They're coming from all different directions. Okay. All right. I'll just follow you. Okay, so over to you. And these are wonderful children from a group called JAM, Jesus and Me, that meets here every Sunday. And they've put a lot of work into this, and they're going to show us the story.